Raptors taking on the Phoenix Suns. Suns were in action last night. Devin Booker went off for 46 points, owning the Sixers in Philly. 46 points. So that's someone to look out for tonight. We head down to the ACC. Here's our main man, Jack Armstrong. What's happening, Jack?
Hello. How we doing, boys?
We're doing pretty well. I mean, I'm liking the idea of watching Devin Booker go off tonight, but what are the chances he can ring up 46 on the Raptors?
Well, he's capable of doing it on a nightly basis. The kid's got an incredibly smooth shooting stroke. And I watched that game last night against Philadelphia, and anytime the Sixers made a run at them, he just responded with huge shots. I mean, he's so calm, so mature. No doubt when you look at him play, he's a young man that's definitely capable of just doing it all. He can create his own shot. He shoots it from deep. He's got such poise, uses screens well. I mean, he's the real deal. He's an excellent player, and, you know, it's unfortunate. He doesn't have enough consistent support on his squad, but nonetheless, he's a much-watched guy.
Isn't it the same kid that had 70 in a game last year?
Yep, he sure is.
Well, and, I'd be wary of a guy that could post up 70 on
Yeah.
Him.
No, he's fun. I mean, he really is, and I think it was interesting. Someone asked me earlier, like, but he can't do it every night. You know, I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, the guy is averaging, you know, close to 25 points a night. I think if you asked the other 29 GMs in the league, would you like Devin Booker on your roster, I think all 29 would try like crazy to navigate a way to get him on their roster. So, no, he's legit. He's a definite positive building piece for the Phoenix Suns, and the Raptors better not take these guys lightly. I thought the Sixers watching the game last night, they did. They're a young team. They thought that, they had arrived. They're fifth seed in the East right now. And I thought Phoenix came out and jumped on them early, kept the crowd out of it, and responded to every run. And Toronto, you know, this is your last home game before you go on a four-game road swing. This is a game you got to get. So you got to jump on them early. This is their third game in four nights, a back-to-back, obviously, for Phoenix as well. So, they should be a little tired. Jump on them and don't let them up.
What's the formula in basketball, Jack? I think in hockey, when you're playing a team like your Buffalo Sabres, it's like get up 2-0 after one or be up 3 after two, and it's you just take their will away and they mail it in. It's like it's not tonight. Once again, you try to – you always say, like, let's find out what these guys are all about because they're losing a lot. What's it against a struggling basketball team? Is it just you just take their will away? What's the point spread, or what do you got to do?
Yeah, no, I was at the Tampa Bay Lightning Sabres game last week, and after two periods, I went to the local establishment across the street and didn't come back.
Bad enough.
So I can relate. Now, Matt Molson could hang out with me at the establishment, I think. But, I think a lot of it comes down to, and you guys all – at the end of a road trip, too, this is their last game of a road trip. Guys just want to get home, you know, and this is the kind of game that I think you got to come out in the first half and just jump on them and take away their will. And then guys say, okay, I'm thinking of the warm weather, getting home. What are my plans when I get back? So I think that the early part of the game is critical. And again, Philadelphia last night did not manage that well. And, Phoenix, to their credit, just got confident, and weren't able to get out of their own way. Philadelphia many times last night.
Well, I would suggest the Raptors make sure that they pay attention to the third quarter and starting second halves, and they were better against Indiana. But Dwayne Casey just lit them up after that Charlotte game because there's something like minus 57 in the previous three games, third quarters, and. That speaks to me of a guy who understands they're going to win a lot of ball games. They're going to be a playoff team. I think they'll have home court in the first, but they have developed into a team, and Dwayne Casey has developed into a coach now who understands that. I'm not saying he's Greg Popovich or Steve Kerr. He's got the Spurs or the Warriors, but he knows they're making it to the playoffs, and he's got to make sure he starts knocking habits either in or out of this team that might cost them in the playoffs. I mean, that's where I see them going, and I think Casey's taking a different approach this year than past years. What do you make of it?
Brian, you use a great word there, and that's what it's all about, habits. And the really good teams have the great habits. You know, who said it? I don't know if it was Socrates or Aristotle or Joe Bag of Donuts. Some real smart guy said, excellence is a habit, not an act. And the real good teams, the real good players, they got the winning habits, and they do things right every day. And I agree with you. I think that's the goal right now for the Raptors. They know they have a good team. But in order to be very good, I'm not going to lie to you, I don't think they're in the same class on a night where they have their game. I don't think they're in the same category of Cleveland. And I think against Boston, they're going to have to play super well to beat them in a seven-game series. But if you develop real good habits between now and April, you can play with anyone else in a conference, and you could probably play and beat Boston as well. And then you're going to have to play out of your minds to beat Cleveland. But the job right now is to get home court in as many rounds as possible, be a real good team, and keep getting better between now and the end of the year, and develop great habits. And you got to break any bad ones that you have.
With Jack Armstrong, Raptors Suns tonight. Tip off at 7:30. Pregame at 7 right here on TSN 1050. CJ Miles has been talking up the bench, and he said earlier today he believes they've got the best bench in the NBA. And I think they've had a very good bench for years. And it's one of those things where I think it's, if you're a coach, you love that idea. If it's during the regular season, it adds up to wins. You get wins based on depth. I don't know how much it matters in the playoffs, though. Like, it hasn't mattered for the Raptors the past 2 years, having Patterson come off the bench, Joseph come off the bench, having a deep bench. I mean, what does it really matter if the Raps do have the best bench in the NBA come playoff time?
Well, I agree. I mean, because you have days off in between games. Timeouts are a little longer during the playoffs because of television. And you're locked into one opponent the whole time. So it's a lot harder for secondary players to get their game off when people really concentrate on taking away their top three tendencies of what they like to do. So I would agree with part of that. I would say, though, that it does change the personality of the game, even in the playoffs, when your second unit guys come in and really go after people and change the style of play. The difference is, it's like in hockey where you double shift guys when the games are really important. If I'm a Ty Lue or Brad Stevens, I'm keeping LeBron James on the floor or Kyrie Irving on the floor more. And now suddenly, a Fred VanVleet's playing Kyrie Irving, or a guy like C.J. Miles has got to guard LeBron James. So it's a little different. And I think that your frontline guys got to be just that. And for this team to really become very good, Serge Ibaka's got to be that third guy that they thought he was going to be when they traded for him and when they made a commitment to him financially to come back here. And a guy like Jonas Valanciunas, if he's going to be part of the long-term plan here and he's under contract here, even though it's a league where everyone's saying, the five-man's becoming extinct and all this nonsense, he's here, he's a good player, and he's got to be that consistent good player every night.
With Jack Armstrong, Raptors Suns tonight, tip off at 7:30 here on TSN 1050. I think we brought up LeVar Ball with you before, Jack. I'm sure we have. I know you're a big fan of his.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you make of this Lakers rule that they're trying to implement where anyone that is a guest of one of the players, so in other words, if you have comp seats, the media is not allowed to speak with you.
Well, that's one reason.
Of course it is. It's all about who's talking to anybody else. I mean, no one's talking to anybody
else. Well, here's the thing, but then you see what happened with his, I don't even know the kid's name.
LiAngelo Ball, he pulled him out of UCLA.
Yeah, that's real smart. Like, you have a kid that's right now not a big-time NBA prospect. He's got an opportunity to get a world-class education and play in the Pac-12 at UCLA, and you're going to pull your kid out of college because the coach actually decides to discipline the kid for shoplifting, and then you turn around and say, well, the Chinese government wasn't as hard on him. Believe me, they do a lot worse to shoplifters in China. And the only reason the kids got out of there, him and the other two kids, was that there was some diplomacy utilized by the two governments to get the kid out of there. And I'm sure trade-offs done. And then the father, so I think the father's basically pimping his kids. I mean, I've seen it. I've recruited. I've been out there on a road for a long time when I was coaching, and I've seen it before with parents that so totally lose their mind and think that they're a bigger deal than their kid, and they think that their kid's going to put them on easy street. And I think it's an absolute disgrace what he's done with his kids. And I think the kid, Lonzo Ball, can be a good player. And I think it's a shame that he's put a target on his kid's back and made it, you know, I think just let the kid mature, let him grow. I mean, I think he's got a chance to be a outstanding defender. He can rebound. He's got good playmaking skills. His shot is all wonky right now. But in time, with coaching, with discipline, and with his father out of the mix, the kid can develop into a good player. Let that happen and stop creating all this drama for your children.
Do you think that the father has put a target on his son's back in the NBA?
Absolutely.
Like, I know if somebody's father was a jackass like that in
the NHL,
you're
going to drill the guy.
Absolutely. Guys would want to take liberties on him because he's unlikable because of the family he's associated with. The kid seems fine. He seems like a good kid.
Yeah.
But the dad's an idiot.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, I think if you talk to people that have coached him, people that have played with him, he's a good teammate, and he's coachable. So, like, what more do you want from a kid? And if you look at his body language on the floor, I mean, he's respectful of his teammates. He's respectful of his coach. He's respectful to the officials. And I think he's a young man who, at this point in time, and we all understand, you know, he's not ready at this point in his life to stand up to his father and say, you know, get out of here. Shut up. You know, you're making it harder on me. This is my life, not yours. Stop trying to live through me. And, you know, it's sad, but, you know, we see it with stage parents all the time. I'm sure you guys see it at the hockey rink, and you see it at baseball fields and basketball courts and hockey field, you know, hockey, you know, on hockey, you know, in the rinks. And just it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And gymnastics parents, wrestling parents, whatever it may be, golf parents. And tennis parents, I mean, you get to a point like, hey, man, it's not your life. It's your kid's life. Love them. Support them. Get the hell out of the way.
All right, Jack, what's up with the new hats at HelloJack.ca? What's going on here?
Well, I tell you what, your guy Tyler, I think he told me he's wearing a T-shirt today.
I believe he is. It looks good, man. Looks real
so
good.
So it's good. You know, it's great for stocking stuffers. That's what, you know, check them out. We got some toques. We got some ball caps, they're looking pretty good.
I love the Brooklyn accent saying toque, the most Canadian word of all time. Give us a toque one more time.
Toque!
There you go.
Hey! Hey now!
Hey now!
Hey! Have a toque!
Attaboy, Jack. HelloJack.ca. We'll check it out, buddy. It's all right. Perfect time of year.
Guys, happy holidays. Feliz Navidad.
Enjoy the game tonight. There
See
he
you
is.
Guys.
Jack Armstrong. Raptors Suns tonight.
Surprised.
TSN. Odin 1050.
I was going to say, just give us some.
Well, let's flip some Grit Grinder gear for some HelloJack.ca gear.
Nope.
What's up with your hats? And
it's all ready to go.
It's ready to roll?
Ready to roll. Just get on there, GritGrinder.ca, and if you want to make a donation to Sick Kids,
it's in there, right?
You'll have the receipt pumped back out at you.
Perfect.
Get after it.
GritGrinder.ca.
You look up that website, I'll go to HelloJack.ca.
We're ordering. We're putting some money into those.